Robinson out of the gun with three receivers, fakes the handoff to Mason. Robinson fires to the left side of the end zone. Caught a yard deep in the end zone. Touchdown, FAU! That's number three for Harrison Bryant. Mackey Award, just give it to him.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Jack and Shane as usual, and tonight we are going to break down FAU's triumphant conquering of Conference USA East. FAU beat Southern Miss this past Saturday, 34-17. That with coupled with Marshall losing to Charlotte last week, FAU has regained the Conference USA East crown and will be playing UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham, next week, hosting the conference championship game. That's kind of the biggest news that we got. So tonight we're going to break down the game. We'll get into some of the coaching rumors, because at this point it's kind of all over the place. Lane, you know, there might be some jobs out there for Lane. So I think we have a few things to talk about, and then we will talk about UAB later on in the week. But I guess to kind of start off, given our thoughts, the thing I kept thinking about was, we've talked about several times this year, is that it always seems like there's a new guy, somebody that steps up specifically on offense, you know, whether it's a wide receiver or Harrison Bryant or a running back, something that happens that really kind of stands out. And really yesterday, that was the defense. The defense as a whole, just without the defense, that is, without how well the defense played, that game was a whole lot more, would have been a whole lot more frustrating, and certainly a closer game. The defense really just stepped up, and it was, you know, Chris had, you know, a rough game. Offense totaled, I think, a total of 300 yards, which has got to be one of the lowest, if not the lowest, this year. So it was, you know, again, it kind of showed that we are a very deep team, and was good to see us take care of business, because we needed to beat Southern Miss, since Marshall did end up beating FIU in overtime. So we had to win. We had to go out and win the CUSA East by beating Southern Miss. And I think that's kind of the best way to go. So and the best way to do it. So yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Shane, what was your you know, what are your thoughts about this Saturday's game?
Chris Robinson only had 8 completions. Again, we've talked about it this year. It's nice to see us be able to win a game where everything isn't clicking. 4 turnovers was the story. The same names as we see every week. Keyes Leroy had sack, forced fumble, 2 interceptions. 2 of the turnovers were set us up in the opponent's red zone. The kid is just everywhere. Migo Dotson, the first interception was maybe the biggest one of the game. You know, completely, it was basically a 14-point swing at that point. You know, I think it was a little tough, and I kind of predicted this on last week's podcast. USM does it as a front 7. They were able to get some pressure on Chris. And not having all our running backs, Malcolm Davidson didn't look like he had the same explosion yesterday. I think towards the end of the game, BJ Evans started showing some things off that made you realize, you know, that he's an Alabama running back. Yeah. You know, one particular move he had, I believe, on a 3rd-and-3 play. I think it was the play before that last Harrison Bryant touchdown, was some elite level stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it all kind of worked out for us this year. And the fact that we're hosting a Conference USA title game for the second time in 3 years is pretty amazing, factoring where, you know, the days of where this podcast started and when it was loss after loss, heartbreaking loss. Now it's just kind of expected. Yesterday was just kind of just did our business.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm right with you guys when you all say that every single win has been someone different. And we've been talking about Chris Robinson. We've been talking about Harrison Bryant and the running backs. But on Saturday, it was all the defense. Migo Dotson, new program record for interceptions. And remember, guys, He didn't even play the first few games of the year. Kiki Leroy, I mean, what else can you say about him? He plays with the heart of a lion. And how many times are we going to keep saying that about defenders with this Florida Atlantic program? They just love to play defense, and that's the kind of swagger that I always want an FAU defense to have. Chris, hey, he struggled, guys. It was bad. 8 of 19. That one interception he had, he threw it in front of like 6 different defenders. It was rough. But what else can you say about Harrison Bryant, y'all? 3 catches, 3 touchdowns. If he doesn't win the Mackey, I'm going to riot. I hope all of you guys join me. We'll get the pitchforks. We'll get him in bulk at Costco. We'll meet up at the Irishman, and we'll flip cards. It'll be a good time. But hopefully he'll just win the award to prevent us from all going to jail. Kicking woes were really worrisome, guys. Even saw Aaron Shahari come on and hit that last field goal. Matt Hayball didn't have his best day either, punting. He did enough. He got 2 out of his 4 punts inside the 20-yard line, which is really all you can think of. I mean, he didn't have any bombs like he's had in the past. But, I mean, guys, we won the East again. I can't believe it, especially after how much the offense and the passing game struggled. We're still East Division champions. What a time to be alive, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, so many of us, and you know, for those of you that are listening to this show, have probably been Owl fans for a while, and to 2 out of the past 3 years to have a chance to win a championship game, it's, you know, it's expected, and it's hard not to take it for granted, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but yeah, it was. I thought it was interesting that even though Chris was struggling, and I guess, you know, again, Lane being a good coach knew what was going to work. I thought with the passing game and Chris being somewhat off, we really didn't try Tronti at all. I mean, I know that we have set packages for him to come in, and there must have been, you know, obviously something in the scouting report where they kind of felt that there must have been something in the scouting report. Where Lane felt that having Tronti wasn't going to be as advantageous, but I thought that was pretty interesting. With again, Chris really not, you know, he kind of got back into holding on to the ball a little bit longer, which you know happened at. With the
I want to debate that a little bit because I heard some people around me get mad about the holding on to the ball thing. There's 3 or 4 plays where. They are design plays where there's only 1 or 2 options to throw the ball. Okay. There was one like that in the red zone where it's kind of one of these design rollouts where if Southern Miss picks up on the play, there's no options for Chris. It's either hold on to the ball and hope someone comes open or throw it out of bounds. And I heard some people get frustrated. Why did he throw it out of bounds? And some people in the stands around me, and it's like, you could see the design of the play that it was, it's kind of a one read thing. You know, if you want to get mad at Chris, get more mad at that interception. It's kind of the first one we've seen all year where it was, I don't think it's a bad decision. He completely missed the underneath linebacker and he threw it into middle 4 guys. And again, Mitchell running open a bit there, but it's tough with them sometimes. And, you know, again, we've talked about it and we didn't get much out of any of the receivers yesterday. Yeah. We've talked about it and they started off and they played the middle of the season good, but Pico, Mitchell, and they've really kind of fallen off the last few weeks. If we're going to nitpick here.
Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been one receiver that has done anything of note in what, the past 3 games, at least? I mean, it's just kind of been Harrison Bryant, running backs, mix in D'Angelo Antoine, end around, something like that. There really hasn't been much.
And, well, Pico had a nice play was that the second quarter, guys? Before one of Harrison Bryant's one. Yeah, he had a nice – nice route where he just blew by his coverage man on 1-on-1 coverage. But I mean, that was it. You know, he had the same amount of catches as James Charles did. did. So think about that for a second. Antoine had two catches, but those were the little shovel passes, and everything else was the Harrison Bryant. By everything else, I just mean it was three. So out of Chris's eight completions, let's just subtract two because those shovel passes shouldn't count. He only had six completed passes, and half of those were to Harry B. That's a bit alarming, especially going up against a really good UAB defense next week.
Yeah, I do think that the line came out. We kind of transitioned here into talking about UAB. As good as their defense is, and I'm wondering, I think Conference USA West is really weak. Spencer Brown, who's supposed to be all-conference running back, has just been banged up all year. But UAB's offense is not great. This is a team that we talked about it last week, was shut out essentially by Southern Miss with their only points coming on defense. It's going to be the same typical game plan for FAU, kind of just force turnovers. It's what we've done all year. But even if they do get some stops versus us, I don't see how their defense can maintain it the whole game or their offense is able to score enough.
Yeah, I kind of brought that same point up on Twitter yesterday, where somebody was, I think it was CUSA Report, put a little poll out there of how everybody was feeling, and I think that FAU's defense will be able to just kind of smother UAB, especially if Tyler Johnston, their starting quarterback for the past 2 years, is able to go. I can't see them because, and also FAU hasn't played on offense a back-to-back games where the offense was ineffective. I mean, if I just take away like half of the mistakes, that we happened last year and FAU wins the game by 35, extra field goal goes in, where, you know, a little more successful on first downs, not getting a sack or, you know, not getting a holding call or something like that, the game's even more of a blowout than it was. I don't see.
I also think there's FAU has a streak of six straight games with 30 or more points, which is up there in the country. I forgot who's the no. I think it's either like Ohio State or Clemson. Someone's up there in the teens, and then there's kind of a second tier group that are all like 5, 6, 7, and FAU's up there. So we always seem a way to find a way to get to 30 points. I'd be shocked if we're not there again. You know, if we get to 35 this game, UAB has no chance. Just talking to, you know, my buddy and who's been on the show, Eric Henry, today, and he thinks this day is going to be a little bit of a culmination for FAU. He expects FAU to win big. And I think there's kind of transition to my next thought. I want to hear Jack's thought on this. I think this is just a day FAU fans really need to just enjoy, kind of live in the moment. I touched on it earlier from where we've come from. I made the post today about ask 10 of your friends to come to this game, beg them, get your Gator friends, your FSU friends, you know, bring your ex-girlfriend if you have to. She doesn't have to sit next to you, but, just do it. Get people out there, put on a good showing for these players.
Yeah, Shane. You call my exes, I'll call your exes, and we'll get it done that way. How about that? I'm right there with you, man. I mean, we talked about it earlier, and we even mentioned it on the Ness on that thread about Arkansas, and we're gonna go into that, guys. Just enjoy it. Whether this is it with Lane Kiffin or whether he dies here, just enjoy the fact that we are in the center of mid-major football right now, playing for our second conference championship at home in 3 years. You know what I would have done to have this kind of opportunity? I feel like everyone that's been an FAU fan for as long as we've been would do a lot of things to be in this position right now. Lane Kiffin, only he knows what's on his mind, what he's going to do. Let's just enjoy it while we have it, and let's just enjoy being East Division champions.
Yeah, I think Yeah, like I said earlier, it's tough to not take it for granted, but it's certainly something that we need to enjoy. And I thought last game, Shane, you mentioned inviting people. FAU did a good job as far as trying to get people to go to the game. I'm sure everybody saw that Mark from It's Owl Time had a ton of tickets. I mean, Jack posted on Twitter and Instagram that there were tickets available. I know there were a couple other community groups that had tickets. I mean, FAU was literally giving tickets away. But this is, it's the game. It's been like this. Every school, including Power Fives, struggle with the game that comes after Thanksgiving. All of the students are gone. Some students, the classes are done for them, so they may not even come back to campus, depending on what their class schedule is like. So that was kind of a bummer. You got to see some really good seniors, some really game changers at FAU leave, and there really wasn't that many people in the stands for it, which is again, it's kind of a bummer. And I anticipate it's going to be somewhat similar. The tickets were on sale already. I think last year student tickets were free, or they were $5 or something like that. But we'll hope, hopefully FAU can muster some attendance. I think the game's at 1:30, but not a terrible time. Most likely it's going to be we'll have some good weather. I think there's supposed to be some cold moving in this week, but it's certainly something to.
Yeah, I think the student tickets are free. I'm 99% sure. If they're not, it's surprising to me. And also, there's cheap tickets everywhere, but I just know for the tickets I buy season ticket wise on the Hyundai deck, they're actually $10 cheaper individually this Conference USA championship game than than I actually paid for them season ticket wise. So
there you go.
Yeah, so it's like my season tickets was, X amount per game. It's actually $10 cheaper for this one extra game than even what I paid for regular season games. So there's kind of no excuse right now. But, kind of with
before we fully pivot, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say, guys, this was the best homecoming – this is the best Thanksgiving attendance we've seen all year, or all program history since the stadiums opened up. I just want to throw that out there real quick. By far, the best Thanksgiving weekend attendance we've had.
Yeah, and the home side was great yesterday.
Awesome yesterday.
That I went to yesterday, and I don't know, Jack, can you hear the noise? I'm the only one seems to be yelling to myself down there. But
you can up there, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought the home side attendance was great, and I said – and even kind of the end zones had a mixing of a couple hundred people in it. And I'm like, well, if we had a normal 2,000 to 3,000 students for this game, we would have considered it a nice attended game. I think the attendance was just under 14,000. So if we had our normal 2,000 to 3,000 student, it would have been a 17,000 to 18,000 attended game, which is for us a solid crowd. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
A dream this weekend, I'm not a big attendance numbers guy, is God, it'd be really cool if we can get that near that 20 for this week's game. I mean, God, you got to think about it. There's not a single other team in the state playing,
right.
I think we talk about marketing and commercials and buses and telephone booth, I'm joking, telephone booth advertisements and newspapers, and we discuss that on the forum all the time. But I think the greatest impact we could have marketing, and this goes for any business or restaurant, is just tell people about it, bring people, come on, I mentioned, even bring that friend that went to the UCF game and had a miserable time because he couldn't get in, and just be like, I'll make it up to you. But that's the only way this is going to grow.
Yeah.
But, we'll enjoy it. I think the only tough thing is this week is obviously, and we'll talk about it, is, it was confirmed by Dan Wolken, and I was tracking it earlier. College football fans were an insane people, tracking private jet flights there was Arkansas search group was in Boca for 3 hours today to talk to Lane Kiffin. Does that mean he's going to take the job? Does that mean he's the number one? Does that mean, I think the only thing it does confirm is that Lane doesn't plan on staying here forever. As much as we want it, he could say no to this job, but, you know, he could – I'm just wondering, he could easily shut this interview down. You know what I mean? Why go into this week with nonstop rumors and, you know, recruits being left in the air? And I know that for a fact. I'm not going to say any name, but recruits sitting here wondering, you know, we always have this in the coaching carousel. So it's, you know, it's he's definitely interested in the Arkansas job.
Yeah, and go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say that the Arkansas staff, I mean, they're not only going to be seeing Lane, they're kind of going on a little tour throughout this entire week.
Bill Clark as well, who we saw today. Yep. There was rumors that they were – that's part of their trip. So, you know, the press conference, I think, later this week with both coaches will be quite interesting. I think there's a media phone interview with both of them. So,
correct. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if it gets brought up. It's always weird talking to coaches when you kind of know that's kind of going on. So, for example, we had our teleconference today, Sunday at 5 o'clock, right after the plane took off from Boca Regional Airport. And some of us knew, I'm not going to say any names in the media, but some of us knew that they're there. We didn't have anything confirmed quite yet. But it's always just awkward to say, hey, Lane, so how was, you know, what was the pitch for Arkansas? You know, right after he talks about, I really hope that we do well against a really good UAB team. It's just hard to say, hard to bring up, especially for me as a fan first, because I don't want this to end. I want this to be every single year, us fighting for championships with Lane Kiffin at the helm, firing memes at Twitter, week in and week out. But we'll see what happens. No matter what, though, he's not going to USF. So if I saw yeah. like three people tweet that out, get out of here. Because USF has no facilities at all. And he's not going to wait all this time for the Schmidt Center to be built, which is unbelievable, guys. I saw it yesterday. My God, it's going to compete at the highest of levels. To go to a place that shares a practice field with a soccer team, okay? It's not going to happen.
The jobs that are open right as of, you know, Sunday night when we're recording this, obviously Arkansas, everybody knows about that. Ole Miss fired their head coach a couple hours ago, and everybody knows about Florida State as well. South Carolina, I know we talked about that weeks ago. That Will Muschamp looks like he's safe. He fired some coordinators and, you know, something like that. And I think the bigger thing here is that Lane is he's interested. He's listening to what people have to say. And again, it's not like we all hope is that, you know, he's going to, you know, live on his boat and enjoy fishing for the rest of his life and then go coach some games a couple times. I think he wants to, you know, to get back to the big leagues for sure. And so I think we're really at this point, we're going to have to live with this as long as Lane Kiffin is our coach. We're going to have to live with, you know, oh, Lane Kiffin here. The right job that he wants could come up, and he could say Arkansas, I don't want it, you know. You know, things just aren't quite right. He can't get deal doesn't get done with any school. I'm not saying there's any deal with Arkansas, but it's something that we are kind of going to have to live with. And I don't know, who knows, maybe we can do this thing where like we win a conference championship and then we go like 6-6 or 7-5 and then we win a conference championship. So people are like, oh, Lane Kiffin's great. Oh, well, he didn't do that great. And oh, he's really great. And then, he only won 7 games. Because I think had we been in the conference championship last year, there would be more teams after Lane. But we'll see. Definitely, it's going to be, hopefully a less frustrating week. But it's just something we got to live with right now.
I think that's just life of a G5 program. Remember when Arkansas State was at the top of the Sun Belt and they went through 4 different head coaches in 4 years? It doesn't matter if it's Lane, doesn't matter who it really is. It's just life of a G5 coach for a G5 program nowadays. If he does go, We can take solace that we're building facilities to compete at the highest level. We mentioned this before. We're trying to build a program where we can win no matter who's the coach. So it's, again, I'm going to circle back here. Let's just enjoy it. Enjoy the memes while we can and live it up.
Yeah. And that the Smith Center is certainly going to help as far as making us a type of place that's going to have sustainable success.
It's going to be the best facility in the state of Florida. I said it. Boom. It's controversial, but guys, it is a joke. It is. The USF can't compete with it. Florida State cannot compete with it right now.
Yeah, I Florida's opening a new facility, but we don't have to get into that. I think with this facility, and I was stating at kind of halftime yesterday, looking out at it as the sun was setting. It was a gorgeous day yesterday. And I said it last week, FAU is definitely a top 10, arguably a top 5 G5 job. And again, I said it on the show, let's get to the point where the program is bigger than the head coach, where there's just too much good things around the program, where a coach needs to come here and just coach football and recruit well, and it's just going to happen and win games. You see this at App State. You see this at other G5 programs. You know, Memphis is about to play. If they win this week, they're probably going to play in the New York Six Bowl, and they lost Fuentes a couple years ago. So let's get to that point where it's kind of just a well-oiled machine.
And Norvell's probably gone after this year, their current head coach.
Yeah, and then Memphis will go through an adjustment period, and they'll come back, and they'll be, anywhere from 8 to 10, 11, 12 win AAC team, like they always are. It's, just be a model of consistency.
We still beat them in the New Orleans Bowl that one year, though. So shout out to the OG teams right there.
Yeah, it's always good to bring that up. So yeah, like we said earlier, we're going to discuss UAB a little bit later on this week, and we will continue to enjoy FAU winning Conference USA East and UAB, which should be. It should be a fun game, and we'll dig a little bit deeper, into that. And a shout out to FAU basketball, who beat UIC, which I just learned stood for University of Illinois Chicago. I should have known that, but a thrilling victory, 71-70. So Dusty,
yes, sir,
putting together a good squad there, and hopefully we'll
two straight wins.
March.
Yeah, we'll see. Two straight wins, now above 500 again. I mean, I'll tell you guys this. It was a pretty massive low point after that massive choke job in Fort Myers against Florida Gulf Coast. I really ate my words because I said on the podcast, yeah, we should be able to blow these guys out, and look what happened. But the team
is finally starting to get
together.
Yeah.
You were half right.
We blew them out for a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit there. They just couldn't hold on. But it's great to see. Hey, Jalen Ingram, he had his first double-digit game tonight in that win over UIC. Since he tore his ACL last year. So he's finally getting his minutes back up. I'm saying that he should be the alpha dog on this team. It's just whether or not he can get over that mental hump of that torn ACL from last year. Looks like he's finally starting to get over that. So if he can really just take the team by charge, be that leader on and off the court, then I think we'll be in good shape. I still think we're good to finish mid-pack of the conference,
which is an improvement of last year. So just keep improving every little bit that we can. So we thank you for joining us with our last regular season breakdown, and we are looking forward talking about UAB later on this week, dig into the numbers there and kind of see how things go. And then who knows, maybe later on down the week, there'll be some more coaching news. We'll see what happens. But again, we thank you for joining us. Make sure you check out FAUAliceNest.com for the game week thread to relive the game last Saturday and any of the coaching news we posted there as well. Also check us out on Twitter at Inside the Borough there. And we thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you guys later in the week. Go Owls.